Right now, we find ourselves smack dab, maybe a little past smack dab, in the middle of August. We always, of course, every week, just about 99.9% of the time, speak with Lauren Christendotter from Main Street Magazine. Of course, you can find Main Street Magazine for free pickup at various locations throughout our tri-state region, and also their companion on the web, which is mainstreetmag.com. Good morning, Kristen.
Good morning. How are you?
Not too bad. Can't complain at all. It's, you know, we're halfway through August. The only thing I can complain about is my birthday month, October, is coming up, and that always leads us into fall. That's so.
It's the gateway.
Yeah, and the gateway into fall. But like, we can still enjoy summer as we have it right now.
We still have a couple more weeks.
Yeah, well, we got, you know, August, and yeah, we do get some warm weather in September, and even occasionally in October. But the thing that gets me is the days shorten. It's noticeable now. It is noticeable, not so much in the evening, but in the morning when I get up, it's very noticeable. But enough of my problems. Let's go on to one of your stories, and it's an interesting story. It's called Reaping and Sowing. And obviously about farms.
Yeah, so Dominique had a chat with the folks there who started this foundation to help farmers. And specifically, her name is Emily Hay, who's the one who's behind it. And her family has been farming in the Stanfordville area for, you know, I think it's over 100 years here. The Kenmerer Farm, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But they're having a benefit now. I think it's actually next weekend, if I'm not mistaken. Sorry, it's been a few weeks since I laid the story out, so I'm blanking on that exact detail. But she, during COVID, she created this foundation because she was looking at farmers and the ways she could help them, especially heritage farmers. And so one of the things she's doing is, you know, with the foundation is this event where she's raising money, and then she distributes it to various farmers to help them in whatever ways they need.
You know, I'm finding, and I know it's true with us, but I'm finding that the positive effects that came from the pandemic, where it's spurred people on to do things, I think, that are important because it involves the community at whole, even though they're only focusing on a certain thing. I've noticed that time and time again.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, a lot of people had time to kind of evaluate what was important, what was they were passionate about and a need for certain things. And it's especially true for, you know, folks like Emily. And it's just, you know, a wonderful thing to see what has come out of it, you know, just despite all the bad, you know, but just to recognize also the good that's come out of it.
All right. As we move on to the magazine, and this is something that Jill and I talk about all the time, and I talk about with my friends a lot. And you've got a great story by Caleb May, Social Media, the Double-Edged Sword.
Caleb is one of our young summer workers. He's off to college in the fall. So we, for this issue, realized we came up with story short. So we were brainstorming, all right, guys, we need a one page or 800 words. What are we going to write about? So Caleb jokingly said something about social media. I was like, all right, go run with it. And because in the office this summer, we've had two, well, they're not interns, they're workers, and Caleb is one of them. He's 18, and I also have Lindsay, who's with us, who also wrote a piece, and this was 19, and she's been with us since she was 14. And I love having the dynamic of these younger, soon-to-be workforce folks, and just seeing their passion and their interest, and when it comes to social media and the, you know, even social media lingo, we've had a whole thing all summer in the office about it, and kind of jokingly saying, like, Caleb's teaching us the us older folks the new lingo. And so when he brought this up, and he was like, well, you know, there are positives and negatives about social media and just like my generation. And so I was like, okay, put it into words. And so he did a nice piece here where he kind of argued both sides of it and the positives and the negatives and what can come of it in either respect. So, you know, he just touched the tip of the iceberg with it, but at least it goes, you know, makes you think a bit.
Well, what's great about it is he's young, and he's taking topics of social media, and he's showing the good side, and also the side of social media that I won't call it bad, but the side of social media that has a negative effect on society as opposed to the positive effect which the internet was supposed to have when it was all talked about and ballyhooed many, many, many years ago.
Certainly, and it's been a topic all summer for us actually in the office, and kind of this generational thing that's been happening. We have Gen X, Gen Z, or millennials, and then the Gen Zs, and between the five of us in the office, and it's kind of interesting just seeing the conversation and the different viewpoints and the different experiences that we've all had when it comes to just life and also the effect of social media on us. And so, it's been very interesting for us. I'm the Gen X, and then Ashley and Griffin are the millennials, and to see the Gen Z and their input on it, and the effects that they've had. And just like Caleb, starts this article off that the social media actually helped him during COVID stay connected with his friends, and just to stay connected.
Another story, we're speaking with Lauren Christendotter, Main Street Magazine, mainstreetmag.com on the web, and it is about affordable housing, area initiatives that are going on. You have a great picture. Affordable housing has been around in Salisbury, even though they're still tussling with it now. They've got Sarum Village. Sharon has affordable housing. Falls Village is putting it in. Salisbury is looking for more. Cornwall has it. It's something that everybody agrees is needed, but boy, is it really tough to get it going.
It's a very controversial issue in many respects, and Griffin spent a lot of time on this piece talking to folks in Connecticut as well as in New York on the New York side, and he found that yes, a lot of people are for it, but then there's a lot of misconception about it if you look at the history of what affordable housing means. But folks, obviously have to look at the bigger picture, and that's what he was talking to so many folks about, not just like the town authorities and the folks behind that, but in employers and different folks who are saying, like especially right now, everyone's looking to hire. The problem is you can't get anyone to work, and then one of the reasons is they can't find an affordable place to live. So it's a multi-pronged issue that is connected to everywhere in our communities, and so it's not just about I think he calls it what something Class C housing. It's not just about that, but it's finding decent housing that is just affordable for the average person to live in around here.
And might I point out, this is not a short story. This is a
No.
really involved, well thought out story that does deal with both sides of the border. And it's quite a long story, and it's, I think for some of you, it's going to be eye opening as well.
That's what we try to do with these, and Griffin's done a few of these now, and I think it's about 4 pages, and that's we try to have him show the both sides of the argument, and so the folks can form a cohesive judgment about it.
Another story, which is hasn't been done really, and that is it's called A Tour Through Local Car Shows by Lindsay Clark, because we now have some really incredible car shows in our area that attract people, and I'm talking about people that display cars from really not only around the world but around the country, but from around the world, and they all are well put on.
They are. Lindsay's is has grown up with cars, and her dad's a car head, and so she has some intimate knowledge. So when she said, "Hey, what about a story about the different car shows that happen?" Even though this past year and a half, they some of them have been put on hold, but like the I think it was what last week or the week before, the Great Barrington one just took place, and so she's diving into the kind of the history of them, how they came about, the organizers, and then what's involved in each of them. And my husband actually went to the one in Great Barrington. It was a wonderful event. It was kind of nice to see the whole Main Street shut down and the camaraderie that was there.
And I think the fire department puts on the one in Great Barrington. I'm pretty sure, but in Falls Village, of course, their car show is put on by Judy Jacobs and all the businesses there. Lime
Yep.
Rock has their car show, which is really an international car show, and that's coming up actually, by the way, with their big weekend. And also, they have that antique car parade, race car parade, and we're blessed with these car shows all over the place. And even during railroad days in North Canaan, McDonald's lot is filled with millions of dollars worth of cars. They're a lot of fun to go to and see.
They are. It's just, you know, you see something different you don't see every day, and you know, seeing the joy in people's faces when they're looking at them and displaying them. And there were a few at the Great Barrington one that, you know, people just kept lining up wanting to take a picture next to.
All right. When's the you must be well into working on your September issue.
We are. I'm hoping to go to press at the end of the day today, actually. So we'll see if I accomplish that. But the printer's waiting, and it's, you know, it's shaped up to be quite a nice issue. There's no theme for this one yet, so the stories are vast, and you know, so I think it'll be a nice one.
Well, you'll find a Main Street magazine, of course, on the web at mainstreetmag.com, and of course at various locations for free pickup throughout the tri-state region. Thorin, have a great week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds terrific. Have a good one.
Take care. That is a Main Street magazine on Robin Hood Radio. We always welcome Thorin in here. Once again, you can find them at mainstreetmag.com. And also you can find this show at robinhoodradio.com. Click on demand, click on Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio.